Hi, if you're an IT pro like me managing data center virtual machines, you probably have heard about a technology that Microsoft have been developing. It's called Design State Configuration. And I have been trying to learn this technology, and I realized that you can actually deploy an infrastructure of it. And I got a chance to read a white paper that just recently became available. And I thought it's probably beneficial for all the IT pro, for all the community, to really have a chance to sit down and talk with the author and find out exactly what this white paper is about. And that author is Michael Green, who we really have a pleasure to have him online with us. Hello, Michael, are you there?
Hey, guys, I'm here. How's it going?
Hi, Michael. For those who don't know you, tell us a little bit about your work and what have you been doing?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a senior program manager on the Windows Server System Center CAT team, or what we now call the Enterprise Cloud Group CAT team. And the primary role and responsibility for someone on the CAT team is to drive customer feedback into engineering. So that sounds like, you know, kind of a you know, I don't know, not very developer type role. But the reality is that's what we do 80% of the time. The other 20% of the time is whenever we see something we can solve, then we go out and build it and put that out in the community. So a lot of times it's examples or it's things like DSC resources that the community needs. And in this case, we were talking to customers and they said, hey, you know, the pull server concept, if we're deploying that as part of our infrastructure, traditionally, whenever Microsoft offers something like that, you give us, you know, formal white paper documentation to go with that. And we say, well, you know, we've got blog posts and things like that. And they said, no. Formal white paper documentation is what we need if we're going to trust this in our enterprise infrastructure. So we went back and we crafted the white paper and we worked closely with the product team who owns these components to make sure that everything is, yep, this looks good. We can, you know, we have no problem with that. And so we've got this published, and right now it's published on to GitHub. By the time this goes live, we will probably host it on TechNet downloads as a Word document, and then we will make the GitHub version in Markdown. And that's actually a really big deal, because what we want is for customers who are going out and trying this to say, hey, Michael, your white paper looks good, but, you know, I think it would be easier to understand if this section was worded a bit differently. They can just go into GitHub, you know, suggest the change. We can go in, read over it, say, yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Thanks. I don't know why we didn't think of that the first time. Accept it. You know, I'll be responsible for taking it over and updating the formal documentation. And this is a new process, so we're still trying to figure out exactly how the process, you know, to go from GitHub to TechNet, you know, like to go from the Markdown to the white paper format, how that's all going to work. But we'll get there. We're gonna grow and change together with our customers.
Well, I want to bring you back a little bit in terms of the white paper, because I had a chance to read it, and it's called Configuration and Planning and Configuration Planning and Installation Guide for the DSC. Now, you mentioned the term pool server. I went through this document, and it's great. A lot of kind of scenario and question checklist type of thing. I think it's great. But before we move on, tell us, what's the pool server concept?
Great. So DSC as a technology, and we've got some previous episodes we've done together, we talked about introducing the concept of DSC, and I think we briefly mentioned just the name of pull server. We probably didn't go into much detail about how it actually works. The idea is, in a DSC environment, you're going to have up-to-date modules, which is like the scripts that do the work, and then you're going to have configurations, which are your flat file definitions of this is how a server should be configured. And so the issue becomes, if you've got a large enterprise environment, maybe you're managing thousands of servers, then you want an easy way to go say, okay, this 500 web servers should all look exactly the same, or I want an easy way to configure them. So what if I could just publish my configuration securely into a service internal to my environment, and those web servers would just always come back in and check in and see if there's any updates to that configuration? So this gets into the concept of continuous delivery, and the idea is I should be able to just go into my repository where I'm storing these files and do change management there. So as opposed to I've got to wait until, you know, the third Thursday of the month, and we've got change meetings and things like that, this whole DevOps mindset is that I can make small changes very quickly. And so the idea is I'm going to go into my repository. I want to change. Maybe I'm going to, this would be a radical change, but I'm going to change where they look for DNS or something like that. Probably for a web server, it's something smaller. Like I want to make sure this additional content gets staged for a test site or something. So I just make the change. I version my configuration, check it in. That configuration gets updated over on the pull server, and then as those web servers check in and the new information comes to them, they reconfigure themselves automatically.
I see. So pull server is like the repository of your, I guess, published configuration? So
yes, it's facilitating the tools, and probably the most important thing, and one of the things I've been prototyping a lot while developing this white paper, is that as customers change those modules, so they're going to introduce new configurations. Those configurations need modules that were not there already. They need this workflow. They need this process where the modules end up on the pull server. Because what happens is downstream on those clients, if I tell it you need a new SSL certificate, and it doesn't know how to do that, it needs the script that helps it understand that. So they automatically get the latest version from the pull server, or you can specify a specific version, things like that.
Okay.
So it does both. It provides the configuration and the modules.
Right. Yes. So you're pulling the configuration from this so-called pull. So you mentioned website and all that. So does it has to be a web server? Can we do something else?
You can do anything. And so what's becoming very interesting is how these DevOps mindsets are kind of starting to become part of how I think about managing my infrastructure as a whole. You know, there's kind of like two different, the famous DevOps saying is I manage servers like cattle, not like pets. And so that's very easy to say whenever it's something like a website or if it's an application that you developed in-house and you know that you're just going to be able to just deploy new versions of it all the time and you own that whole process end to end. When you're talking about software that you got from a vendor and you put it on a server, it's not as easy to say, oh yeah, just blow away that VM and deploy it once a week with changes and things like that. So I've been talking to people in the industry, and initially I was saying, hey guys, I'm really kind of stumped on, if it's something like a traditional core infrastructure solution, I'm not really sure I want to redeploy these, 40 times a day, the way that you would think about this DevOps mindset around application servers. So I'm not really sure how I'm going to do this. And they said, no, you got it all wrong. It's not that you're going to deploy those roles 40 times a day. It's that you're always available. You're always ready to deploy those roles. So that means that for that infrastructure, for each of these major server roles, you've defined the configuration. You know exactly how they're supposed to look. If you needed to redeploy it tomorrow, you would just bring up a VM, point it at your pull server, tell it what configuration, and that role would come right back. So it makes your disaster recovery stories become more elegant. It makes it easier to introduce change. And I'll tell you, the next white paper that I'm going to write is an operations guide for this process, because now we'll have the infrastructure documentation. This is how you stand it up. Now we need a document on how to use it. And what I'm finding and prototyping for that next thing is that test automation is going to be a big, big deal going forward. You can think about like the whole history of the thing. So, we all kind of got our roots from like using SMS 2003 and Configuration Manager. Every Configuration Manager admin sooner or later released a package into production that wasn't quite ready or targeted the wrong machines and had something bad happen. And they said, oh, never going to have that happen again. So in the future, I'm going to have better process. I'm only going to go to 10% of my machines and then 20, et cetera. And so the next thing that happened is in monitoring, and we didn't learn. We didn't, as people, the process changed, the technology evolved, and we thought, oh, we really got it this time. So there's no way we can fail. We've got great monitoring. And then we had an outage. And say, what happened? Oh, you know what? We weren't monitoring for that. So we're going to improve our monitoring, make it better. We'll never have that outage again. And then it happened again. So now you get this latest and greatest technology, right? And the idea is, oh, I can easily introduce change in my environment. I just go to the repo, check it in. It gets to my pull server. All of my machines just go to the pull server and get their latest. And you know what's going to happen is someone's going to check in a bad configuration and they're going to have an issue. And they're going to say, well, how do we prevent that from happening? Well, we need test automation, which means something like after I do a check-in, a script evaluates for bad habits. It might even spin up some VMs in Azure, make sure that they look okay. And then after that, it can go into production. And then, we'll improve testing. We'll make it better and better, and people will get more comfortable, and the process will continue. But Pull Server provides the on-premises infrastructure to facilitate this whole motion.
Okay. So this paper, this first one, talk about the configuration planning and installation is to roll out this infrastructure. But it's really just a pull server that obviously can be a website. I guess it can be a file server as well, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. Pull server actually has multiple ways that you can deploy it. You can do just an SMB share. So like I said earlier, the pull server functionality is just the modules and the configuration. There are some advancements that you can see in the release notes now that are coming, so that as machines are getting in configurations, they can report back. That functionality requires the web service. So you can also use a file share, but in most cases you'll see the file share functionality being used in something like a lab, where you just need a quick place to put things and the machines consume them. As you're moving into something like an enterprise production environment, that's where the ability for that information to flow back upstream that says what's going on out there in my environment, that's where the web service has a unique value add that the file server doesn't have.
Okay, so following your white paper, we do the configuration planning, we do the installation, and you mentioned about the part two that you're going to come up with the operation, monitoring, all that, right? This is all great. However, Michael, I mean, haven't we heard about these DSC configuration installation already? I mean, is there something new about this white paper or this serious white paper that you're going to do?
Yeah, so the genesis for this is we were sitting down with customers who were using DSC in production, and they were figuring out what was the process that we went through. And we actually went and sat down with one customer as they were building it out in the lab and said, okay, we're just going to listen to you guys as you go through this process. And because what we want to see is, you know, when you go out and build a solution, you think, okay, great, this should be easy for somebody to deploy. And then you put it into an enterprise production environment and you find out that there's a whole process. You find out the nuances of the process for your solution that you hadn't thought about. So it's something like, well, you know, if you probably want to use a DNS CNAME so that you're not just pointing to the IP address or even the host record, because what if that server dies? You want to replace it. And then you go meet with the customer and they go, well, we can't just create DNS records on the fly. That's a process for us. There's a form we should submit. We got to go track somebody down, maybe, that kind of thing. And we go, oh, great. So we should write a white paper that just lays out all the steps that you want to think about in an enterprise environment. You know, here's what you got to think about for name resolution. Here's what you want to think about for your certificates that are required. Here's what you want to think about is, does your environment require that something like this be highly available and not a single point of failure? If so, then you're going to need this, this, and this. And here's the things you should think about. Here's the types of people you should go talk to within your environment. So all that stuff was new. And there's also some new functionality. So one of the things that I was adamant about in the installation part, so we have the configuration planning. That's where who should you go talk to and that kind of stuff. And then you have the installation guide. And in the installation guide, for everyone who contributed in the document, I said, look, guys, this is a PowerShell-based functionality. I don't want any screenshots that say click next, next, finish. I just want everything to be script samples, and whenever possible, I want it to be a DSC configuration. And so all of the examples are either DSC configurations. Here's a simple lab-based scenario for pull server. Here's a more advanced scenario for production-type deployments, and then some snippets that say, you know, here's how you can accomplish some tasks, like reaching out to a client and make sure that it's kicking off and things like that.
Okay. So Michael, so what I hear from you is it's going to be very practical. So you actually sit down with the customer, walk through this scenario, and kind of learn from them. So you're going to put all those really very specific and realistic type of scenario in the white paper and help us how to actually do the planning and install. And in your second part, white paper will be how to operate it. I also hear you talk about all these things that you want to make sure that it's a PowerShell script, it will be easy and simple for us to really implement it. And that's all good, and I am ready to see what you have for us.
Okay, why don't I just share my screen, and I'll show you some of the examples and some of the things that are new in those examples. Then there's actually a couple things that I haven't released yet. They'll probably be live by the time the recording goes live, but I can show them to you on screen today.
Oh, great.
Okay, I'm sharing my screen. Can you guys see it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So this is, I apologize for the kind of zoomed out view, the multi-page view here, but I just want to give you a feel for what's in the white paper. So as you can see, this is kind of the traditional formatting. We have a tech writer on our team now, and he's been a tremendous help, and he's really kind of upped the bar as to what we're delivering as white papers and documentation from our team. But it kind of gives you the traditional overview. I'm going to scroll down, so I know this is hard on the screen share, but I want to get down here. So I'm going to zoom into page width, and you'll see if I go to the first block, it's the basic configuration. This is just if you were going to deploy on Windows Server 2012, this is how you would build a pull server in a lab environment. This is kind of like you know, in Agile, there's this concept of minimum viable product. That's kind of what this is. It's like, this is the bare minimum that you need just to get something up and going. And then I have the advanced configuration. And in this case, I was really trying to represent, you know, that we've thought through a lot of different nuances. You know, you're going to make the machine server core. Do you want to join a domain? You know, there's a lot of security people who have, in different environments, have said, hey, we want to turn off SSL and turn on TLS because of some different vulnerabilities and things in various implementations of SSL. It's kind of a way of thinking about things. So anyway, that takes care of that. And if I scroll down a bit further, there it adds a DSC resource. So, you know, what's interesting is this xcertrec. So certrec, certrec.exe, is a command line utility in Windows for creating and then sending off and receiving back certificate requests. So what happened is, as we were prototyping this all out and then talking to customers, we kind of got to the point where it's like, okay, so can you fully deploy DSC, or can you fully deploy a pull server using DSC? And they're like, yeah. You know, what we found out is we really need to use SSL for the web service, and there's not a great way to do that yet. So I went out as a result of this activity and contributed X certificate into the gallery. And so what this does, if you've got an Active Directory Enterprise Root Certificate Authority, you just tell this what's the server, what's the CA name, and what do you want your subject of your certificate to be, and it will generate the request for your machine, go out to the certificate server, get the SSL certificate, and come back and load it up. And then as a result, the next thing was, okay, well, for the DSC resource that creates a pull server, it needs a thumbprint ID. But you're not going to know the thumbprint ID because it's generated by the configuration. And so we had to produce an update for this resource so that you can actually give it the subject name, and it will go filter the certificates on your machine, find the one with the right subject name, get the thumbprint, and return that into the thumbprint field, and then everything is automated end-to-end. So now with this example, you can completely deploy a pull server end-to-end with SSL and all the best practices. And all the things that you need will just be there in the gallery for that. So if I scroll down further, you can see I've got some examples to how to verify just a test. You know, I've deployed my pull server. Am I sure that it's working correctly? So this is just a snippet that'll go out, connect to the web service. And if you get this back, this is actually getting results from the web service. So you can verify, yep, everything looks good. My clients should be able to talk okay. I've got an example for how to configure your clients. So if you need to point to the pull server, you can dictate how frequently it should check in. Do you want it to just apply and monitor, or do you want it to automatically correct itself? That capability is there. And then here's how you can manually initiate from a client. So if you don't want to wait to the next interval, you want to check right now. That is there as well. And then something that I removed because, and I actually will be adding it back in, is the ability to have your pull server automatically stay up to date. So let me show you a couple things as we go along here. I'm going to bring in a new window, and you should now be able to see GitHub in my browser. So this is the PowerShell team GitHub repository. And what you'll see is that all those DSC modules that have been up on TechNet downloads are now available in GitHub. And what this means is that customers can come in and contribute and make improvements. So we want to go fast, fast, fast. We want to be able to really open the door. And if a customer identifies, hey, there's a bug in this resource or this module, we don't want to make it like a month turnaround. We just want to say, great, thanks. Just give us a pull request. We'll make the change, or at least submit an issue, and then we'll make the change. And then the end result where we want to be eventually is that the test automation is good, and these things flow to the feed, and we can move faster and faster. So that same thing's going to happen at customers, right? They're going to have their repository where, by the way, I should just say this. This is all really, really good that we have these resources on the internet, but if you're an enterprise environment, I recommend that as you download things, even if they're from Microsoft, find somebody who's an expert in your environment that can look through the script and say, yep, this follows our best practices, this follows all of our standards, we don't see any issues here. Now, let's put this in our own private repository. We have our own test automation, and we actually should have our own private NuGet feed. And so the importance of that, this is something that I actually presented on at PowerShell Summit, is this idea that I think in the future, everyone's going to have not just one, but probably many private feeds where they're putting their tools. And if you're familiar with WMF5, you know there's this concept of OneGet, or what's now called the PowerShell Package Manager, and PowerShell Get. So if I want to just, you know, easily connect in, download my latest tools, it's sort of ubiquitous. These tools are just available to me now. I can be on any machine. I can do find module, go see what's out there. I can do install module, and I can pull down the modules that I need to, you know, do any work that I want from anywhere. Well, wouldn't it be nice if I could just from there feed that into my pull server? And that way, all I have to do is publish into my repo, and then my feed is available. I can easily get to it from anywhere. But DSC modules work the same way. So I should just be able to, as soon as I publish into that repo, it should automatically test. And if it looks good, it should go update my pull server. The pull server should have all versions of anything that I'm using anyway. You know, from what I've checked into that repo, and then it's available. And so as part of that, I set, you know, this is one of those things where, like, you just think about it and you think about it, like, I'm not sure how to solve this problem. Like, that doesn't really work that way today. And I woke up in the morning, I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I need to build a OneGet provider, because that's our answer going forward, right? PowerShell Package Manager can connect out to that feed, it can pull it down, and it can do something with it. And I sat down and I found it was really easy to build OneGet providers because it's all in PowerShell. So I'm going to bring in another window. So this is a pull server. This is actually a prototype environment that I've got hosting in my Azure lab. So I'm practicing what I preach here. I've got virtual machines in Azure. I'm testing my pull server. I don't have a GUI. I'm testing on server core. I've got multiple pull servers, so I'm simulating load balancing across them for high availability. I'm simulating a mocked-up scale-out file server, so my back-end storage environment would be highly available. So I look good from an enterprise perspective. And then I'll show you exactly what it looks like here. So you can see what I've got on my screen as I was setting up for today. If I go out and do a get-package provider, you'll see these are my OneGet providers on this machine. And you'll see in that list, pull server modules. And if I do a get-package and ask for provider name, pull server modules, you'll see that as I staged that, it should return. There we go. That X-Active Directory is installed and where it's at. So what's interesting is that the source telling me where it's at is actually on a file share. So I'm using a file share to store these modules across multiple front ends that are that serve as pull server web services, and I'm load balancing across them, so they're all sharing the same thing. So if I do find module, because I think, hey, I want to go out and see, you know, I've got Active Directory, but I actually want to be able to facilitate a configuration that gives me a domain controller with certificate services there. So maybe I want one node that fulfills both roles. I can go look for XADCS deployment. That would give me the ability to deploy certificate services. And okay, great. Now if I go look, if I up arrow here, oh, there it was, go look at my file share, confirm what I knew when I did get package, which is out there where I store my modules for this pull server. On that file share, I've got X-Active Directory, and you'll notice that it's in a different format. So there's a naming convention I have to adhere to. It's in a zip file, and then it creates a checksum so that everything can be validated to say, yes, when I'm interacting with this, it's the original version that was put on that server. So I can go in and say install package XADCS deployment, and I just say provider name, wait for AutoSense to tab complete. That's a long time. There we go. And I'm going to say XADCS, whoops, I'm going to say pull server modules and hit enter. And what's happening right now is it's going out to the public feed. It's finding XADCS deployment as an available module from the PowerShell gallery. And then it's specifically using the pull server modules provider. And so after it downloads it, it puts it in a temporary location. It extracts out the NuGet package. It renames it. It creates the archive, names it appropriately, and then it actually, by the way, since this is coming from the internet location, it's going to ask me, is it okay to trust that location? I'm just going to say yes. So it actually uses DSC to figure out what to do next. So since this machine was built using a DSC configuration, the provider does a get-DSC configuration and looks to see, hey, where is the pull server looking for modules right now? And then it goes and puts them there. So now if I do the same thing and say list, now I've got both Active Directory and certificate services deployment in the correct format. Naming conventions look good. Checksums are all there. So now for any clients that are connecting to this pull server, they can go get it. And so by the way, the pull server is sort of modularized in its deployment methodology. So that's the download manager. If you have clients that are set to look to download manager on this node for those modules, and I do a push to that node, it'll figure out where to go find the latest version. So all the story is really maturing and coming together very well. I mean, this is a really nice kind of slick implementation.
That is very cool. Thank you so much for showing us.
Yeah, you bet.
Michael, that was great. And thank you so much for showing us. And as you were demonstrating, I was following your white paper. Thank you so much for use PowerShell. And I see especially those requests for certificate, those validation, those were great because I know that's pretty tricky to do. So thank you so much for putting that in. Now, there's a lot of PowerShell going on here. Although we all know, like, you know, PowerShell is like the strategic tool for automation. But for DSC, I didn't realize we use it so extensive. Could you share some thoughts? Like, you know, how much you're going to involve with all this PowerShell stuff?
Yeah. So if you just go out to github.com/PowerShell, kind of the easiest way to get involved, if you go look under the DSC resource repo, you can actually just type github.com/PowerShell/DSC resources, plural, and it will render the README by default. And this explains everything about where to find the PowerShell blog, references to PowerShell.org, PowerShell Magazine, the Building Clouds blog, where to find OpenTech repos. But as you scroll down, you'll see a link to the contribution guidelines. And this is really important because, number one, if you're looking at GitHub for the first time and you say, oh my gosh, there's all these concepts of pull requests and pushing things and merging things and, you know, forking repositories, and I don't know how to do all this stuff, it's all documented here for you. And we will continue to grow this. So the concept of being open and the community being able to contribute into what Microsoft is releasing in this space is super, super important going forward. We want to move faster and faster. One of the things that Jeffrey Snover said at PowerShell Summit that I thought was really, really great is he said, you know, it's not that we want to grow the PowerShell team from X number of people up to, you know, 50 or 100 people. It's that we want to grow it to 3,000 people. And the only way we do that is we work through the community. So we want to, for everybody who's working with DSC that comes across, hey, you know, I was building out this scenario, and I'd like to publish my configuration. And by the way, there were a couple of modules that weren't available that I needed, so I went out and built them. And in the past, it was like, okay, well, that knowledge is sort of locked up over here. You can just submit it. And what you actually do is submit an issue that says, hey, I've got this in my GitHub repo. I'd like Microsoft to consider bringing it over into the PowerShell team's repo, and that way everyone can easily discover it. And the process just works, and it's really great. And the test automation is always improving. So it's a new concept for us as well. But we're going fast, and we're looking forward to ending up at a great place together.
Yeah, and you showed the demo even using Windows Microsoft Azure. I think it's great. So I can actually have all the resources just test it out and follow your white paper and get it started. And now you mentioned we have the GitHub for the whole community to contribute. I think this is great. You know, we can go there and get some resources, and if we have something to contribute, we can also give it back to the community. I think that's a very great concept. Now, I have a final question for you. Michael, this is great. So what's your plan? When can we get that operational guy? Can you make that happen perhaps like Monday or something?
So this will be a work in progress. The one thing I can tell you for anybody who is listening is if you've got experience with this, right now I'm just talking to everyone I can. So I'm talking to all these different product teams. I'm talking to customers who are doing things like this. I'm talking to people who are following similar processes using completely different tools so we can learn from them as well. So if you've got something to share around, you know, what should this process look like or how would you like to see it end up, you know, we love taking feedback. We're actually meeting with like 3 to 5 customers a week right now so that we can continue to move faster and faster within the Microsoft community. So we'd love to hear back. We'd love to hear feedback. I'd love to hear your feedback for the white paper as far as, you know, is it the right approach to have just Markdown format on GitHub and then a Word doc format on TechNet, or do you just want the Markdown version? All those questions, we're happy to just take feedback from customers and give and just provide whatever you're asking for. And so my next stop will be working on that operations guide. Okay. But I got some things after that as well. So you may remember PowerShell Just Enough Administration, and that I presented a few times on using that together with service management automation. So you can kind of build this big multi-tier environment, and operators have only access to do what they need to do, when they need to do it, things like that. So there's some videos out there on that, but the community has said we really need formal documentation on how to build that out. So that's on my to-do list. And I've got some other things, too. So I was telling somebody last week, you know, I can't remember the last time that I woke up in the morning and I thought, what am I going to do today? It's like endless runway. Just get up and start running as fast as you can. And when you pass out, then just wake up tomorrow and do it again.
Well, Michael, you're always welcome to come back when you have something to share. Please do come back to let us know, and we would love to have you back. For your, all your IT pros out there, here's your call to action. First, go to GitHub. The PowerShell repository and got all the resources and get Microsoft Azure subscription, get a free trial if you need to, and go and test it out. The third is, after you learn something, contribute back to our community. With that, I am Yang Cho here signing off. And before we do that, we want to thank our producer, Chris Caldwell. Thank you for doing all this great job behind the scenes so we can deliver this content. Until next time, I'm signing off.